Some people are already gathering downtown for a little basketball game, but you all are pre-gaming here at the table. We are grateful to be together, and all truly does mean all. Warriors fans, Kings fans, whatever team you might be rooting for, Brendan Lowe on the East Coast, I don't even know. We are grateful to gather in this season of Easter together with you all here for worship. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as the co-pastors for this beautiful community of faith, and we're grateful to be together both in person and online. We're going to move together into worship, and I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, either in body or in spirit, and grace is going to help us to center our hearts in God's love and to move together into worship.
By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. He's been my time I get a little lonely. By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. Walk with me,
awe,
is finding my voice in the smallness, a volcano erupting. Is anger simmered and silence stewed, and the yoke of love breaking out always? Is laughter so heavy that it sags past the belly, a moon pregnant with light? Is the stream of goats that dance to her song on their way to breakfast, is a door that stays cracked at night, illuminating the deep with fond reassurance of more, of nothing at all.
You heard the cry of our hearts, and you came down. Freely you gave us your love, showing us make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is darkness, let me shine light. And may your love cause us to open up, cause us to open up our hearts. And may your light cause us to shine so bright that it bring hope into the dark.
If you know this song, sing it with us.
Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is darkness, let me shine light. And may your love cause us to open up, cause us to you are hope. Lord, we take your peace in our hearts today. Sing this with me. Hope for the hopeless, your love is
Lord, give us strength today. Your strength in our weakness, your love is, and may we love as you love.
I want us to breathe in the music right now. Wow. Wow, you guys are amazing, just so you know. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We're grateful to be together, both in person and online. While Easter is often celebrated on a single day, the global Christian church celebrates Easter as a season for 50 days. Our worship in this Easter season at the table is inviting reflection on the new science of Dr. Dacher Kellner on how every day, wonder and experience of awe can transform life. For those of us online at table.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. When you feel ready to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share life here at the table. Our next Growing in Faith series will be offered on June 9 and 10 in a retreat format here at the table. Please learn more and sign up online at thetableumc.org. I just like to say that I will miss you guys a lot. I'm actually going to Fiji very soon, and I'll be out for 5 weekends. For a holiday, okay? I will be at the beach drinking and enjoying that, okay? So it's a holiday. I'm excited about that. And I did send out my hospitality lead volunteers, and I have amazing people who are covering for me, and it just felt great. And I just want to say I will miss you guys while at the beach. And I love you all. I invite you to remain seated as our music team continues to lead us in the worship by sharing a song called Christ Our God, Good Shepherd.
Shepherd of goodness, your mercy has found us. Here in green pastures where your kingdom grows. Cleansed by the waters of new birth we offer. Praise to your goodness and saves and restores. Our good shepherd, Lord, would you hear our prayers? Break open our imaginations, Lord, would you hear our prayers? Shepherd of goodness, your table invites us. Bread for our hunger and new cup of wine. Nourished by grace, we can face opposition. Led by your goodness and sovereign design. Christ our good shepherd. Occasion, we are reminded that you're in control.
Breathe in our past, read the days yet before us. You're our good shepherd, your love we explore.
Christ, our good shepherd, Lord, would you hear us? Break open our imaginations. Lord, would you hear our prayers? Break open our imaginations. Lord, would you hear our prayers?
Good morning. My name is Bob Martinez, and we were just at a few beaches exploring a different part of paradise and experiencing the awe of that. I want to welcome all of you to the table this morning. And at this time, I'd like to invite our children to move with our teachers upstairs to our Godly Play Sanctuary as our musicians help us with some walking music. Godly Play is our ministry with children on Sunday mornings. Storytellers share stories from Scripture and invite children to wonder about the mystery and the love of God. While we have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame throughout our worship, Godly Play is designed for children in elementary school. Wow. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, Chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations translation and Indigenous translation of the New Testament, and we invite you to follow along. Now, Creator Sets Free, Jesus, told this story to the separated ones, the Pharisees, For there were blind guides leading the tribes of wrestles with Creator, Israel, down a false path to a bad end. I speak from my heart, he said to the blind tribal leaders. Thieves and outlaws do not use the gate to the sheep pen, but sneak in some other way. But the shepherd uses the gate to enter, and the gatekeeper opens the way. The sheep know their shepherd's voice, for he calls each one of them by name, and they follow him as he leads them in and out of the sheep pen. The sheep will not follow the voice of the stranger. They will run away, for they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Because he was using a story to teach them, Creator Sets Free could see that they did not understand. So he told them the meaning of this story. I speak again from my heart, he said. I am the gate for the sheep. All who put themselves before me are thieves and outlaws, false shepherds. My sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate for the sheep. The ones who enter by me will be safe and well cared for. Following the shepherd, they will go in and out and find good food to eat. Thieves enter only to take away life, to steal what is not theirs, and to bring ruin all they cannot have. I have come to give the good life, a life that overflows with beauty and with harmony.
So, I've learned that there's something that happens to a lot of people during chemotherapy, which physicians and nurses and researchers have various names for, like cancer treatment-related cognitive impairment. Or there's the shorter one, cancer-related cognitive change. When you're a woman who's 62 and you hear the word the change, that's not what you think about. But the rest of the world calls it chemo brain. And I just want to tell you about it. And Corey really helped me out this week. Chemo brain feels like a general sense of fog. And I want to say I was raised a lot in Berkeley, so I have a sense of that. It drifts in and out as if a person is the Golden Gate Bridge. You to notice is that went day into night. It's not just for a moment. The struggle is real. And this week, I really am excited to preach, but now you know what's going on inside my brain. And so, if I drift, you'll know. I just went through the bridge, and I'll be back. Part of why I was excited to preach is this series, and especially because this week we're focused on awe in music and the visual arts, which is my absolute favorite thing on the planet, right, besides babies. But why we paired it with this passage, I have no idea. Because this passage is like dense tule fog that comes in to Madera and Merced, the kind that you can't drive through even sometimes. That's what this passage felt like this week. Why? Because, and maybe it's like this when Bob was reading it, you can't really see through it easily. There's so much in there. And I'm probably actually not really being fair. I believe Jesus thought he was being clear when he spoke. I think the gospel writer of John thought that they were being clear when they wrote things down. But this many thousands of years later, not so much clarity. So having acknowledged the fog rolling in and out, I want to attempt to take us in, all right? Just who is who in this passage we heard? And who are they supposed to represent? And before we can figure that out, we're given a sheepfold or a sheep pen. And the sheepfold seems important if for no other reason than there are thieves and bandits trying to break into it. It seems on the surface then it's supposed to be a desired place for us to be as well. So is it all of us that need to find our way inside? Does this mean the sheepfold is eternal life? Or maybe it's just where you go deeper with God? Or maybe deeper with Jesus? But then we hear that the one who enters the sheepfold through the gate is the shepherd. That shepherd is the one in charge. So that can't be us, can it? And also, just to be clear, if we include one more verse into verse 11, we learn that Jesus is the shepherd. That's the next verse. The Good Shepherd. This is known around the world as Good Shepherd Sunday. So that must settle everything. But if Jesus is the shepherd, then who's the gatekeeper? And who's letting Jesus in with all the sheep? Is it God, Creator? What is the gospel writer of John trying to say? Way back in December, Jesus is God incarnate in human form. The Word became a wordless child, an infant. This morning, Jesus is a shepherd, and God is a gatekeeper? The gatekeeper? I started to feel a little bit of serious relief when I got to verse 6 and 7. Creator sets free could see they did not understand. So he told them the meaning of the story. I thought, okay, this is going to clear the fog. I am the gate for the sheep. Hold up. Wasn't the gate just a gate a minute ago? Now Jesus is the gate. So who's the shepherd again? The one with the familiar voice? The sheep recognize that voice. And who is the gatekeeper? The one swinging Jesus open and closed for the shepherd to enter? It seems like if we separate these metaphors out, we might make some more progress. But all in all, that isn't even the real problem. I feel deep in my gut with this text. And I read and I full-on complained to Pastor Matt about 7 different commentaries this week in which theologians argued about who is who. But I just wasn't drawn there. It's the sheepfold for me and access to it. The sheepfold and the gate. And I believe it's safe to say that a sheepfold can do 2 things. It can hold something in or keep something out. That's where, if you're a knitter, you know, because the sheep get protected inside as well as from without, right? And the gate is the access point. So I want to look at that. Jesus said to them, I am the gate for the sheep. The ones who enter by me will be safe and well cared for. Following the shepherd, they will go in and out and find good food to eat. So what would that look like? Or what would it sound like? I hope we know, but in case we don't, our hope these weeks is to excavate some of the ancient wisdom this passage might offer when we view it through the lens of Dacher Keltner, who's a Mexican-born American professor of psych at UC Berkeley. He directs the Berkeley Social Interaction Lab, which researches how awe transforms our brains and bodies and ultimately our lives. You could say he wrote the book on awe so far. How might an experience of entering the sheepfold through a gate be ultimately transformed into an encounter with awe that is life-giving? Well, back in 2015, Dacher Keltner, when he was still in the midst of research for his book, Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life, he was invited to be part of creating a Pixar film. Maybe you've heard of it. It was called Soul. And he had a great experience serving on the team before that, because he is the consultant on the Pixar film Inside Out. So he was intrigued because awe was not part of Inside Out. It wasn't one of the emotions. What more might be possible given his research that he could add? And just to say briefly, Soul is a film in which the main character, who is Joe, is a middle-aged jazz pianist in a rut as a middle school band teacher in Queens, New York. And just before his breakthrough show with a famous quartet, Joe falls into a manhole and he dies. And he enters then, in his death, into another realm of consciousness. And there he encounters what they call the Great Beyond, but escapes the Great Beyond into a pre-life realm called the Great Before. And there he befriends a cynical new soul who's there too. The new soul is named 22. And the story is about their respective quests. 22 wants to find her reason for living, and Joe wants to get back to life in his real body for a once-in-a-lifetime gig that will ultimately transform his life. And in Soul, the team of writers and artists worked really hard to translate the science of awe into the visuals that would go on and inspire the audience. And we can see this dynamic experience throughout the film, but I'm just going to lift up a few scenes that are one in particular in Soul in the beginning and one that happens later. But this first one happens as Joe improvises during an audition for his breakthrough gig. And we see the jazz club dissolve into a wash of rippling curtains of color. And the color is distorted by the piano's notes that we hear. And then Joe, you will see, floats. It's kind of like time begins to expand. And that's because, according to Dacher Keltner, studies find that after watching awe-inspiring visual art or listening to awe-inspiring music, our sense of time and space shift, and our senses like color and sound all often blend together. Towards the end of the scene, you'll see Joe come back into the room. And then it's kind of silent. And it's harder to see, but next to him, the bass player's eyes are like saucers. Their mouth is open, which is the universal posture of awe. Right? Mm-hmm. The music reveals something of Joe's soul, and the rest of the band can feel it too. I would go so far as to say it reveals how awe inspires those around us. For their individual experience through awe is merged. And in that moment, they have a shared recognition of awe. So I've laid all that out for you so you can notice. Let's watch.
What do we play? Sorry, I zoned out a little back there.
Joe Gardner, where have you been?
I've been teaching middle school band. But on the weekends,
You got a suit?
Get
a suit, Teach. A good suit. Back here tonight, first show's at 9, sound check's at 7. We'll see how you do.
Later on, Joe truly does experience the gig of a lifetime that ends in a standing ovation. And we are grateful to John Batiste. That's his piano playing, in case you didn't know. Yeah. And then Joe goes home. After that gig of a lifetime. But he's a little bit unsatisfied. As if he's asking, was that it? He's had all these adventures. He's longed for this forever. He did have the moment that we just all saw. But then he comes back into his body, has the event, and wonders if that is it. And after the show, he goes home later that evening. And he's putting away his music at his own piano in his apartment. And his eyes see something. He's a collector of small items. And each of the items holds a memory for him of his life that has inspired all along the way. There's a leaf that fell from the sky at one point. There's a bite of leftover pizza, but it's New York, so amazing pizza. A haircut memory comes up, his subway pass is there. He begins to have other memories of teaching. He recalls the love of his family. And as he's sitting there, he reaches for them and he places them on the music stand on the piano, as if they are now his music, see? So let's watch what happened.
Watching can be my spark, or walking. I'm really good at walking.
Those really aren't purposes, 22. That's just regular old living.
Those questions about the meaning of his life are real, regular old living. And what the answers look like more often than not are often foggy to us. I think Joe was foggy on some side, even though he brought those things home. The awe was not translatable until the scene we saw. Because we all want certainty most of the time. He says he's a gate, so we make him a wall. That's our certainty. An obstacle, a closure, a restriction that limits access to God to the right people. And in that way, if you hear this message from inside the sheepfold, then you feel included. If you hear this message from outside the sheepfold, you feel excluded. And that's the trouble. Back then, when Jesus was trying to tell his story, and now when we try to drop it into our non-sheep rearing, wouldn't recognize an actual sheepfold lives. But I think we can recognize it in the film through visual arts and sound that Jesus actually is here to let people in, not keep people out. He's not a wall but a door, the poet writes, not a fence but a gateway, an opening. Jesus is for those who are searching for God. Sheep searching for good pasture who keep coming up against walls. Fear is a wall, and doubt and distrust is a wall, and people's judgment and expectations are a wall, and religion can be a wall, but Jesus is an opening. Through all the walls of right religion and being good enough, Jesus holds an opening, a gateway, and says, "I am your opening. Come in and go out and find good pasture and let me love you." That is the gateway to everything. So let's remember Keltner's definition of awe for a moment. Awe is being in the presence of something vast that transcends your current understanding of the world. Did you see how Joe went for a while from his piano stool to the Milky Way? That progression. Even in the midst of the fogginess of our attempts to understand and navigate God's world, there are moments in which we travel through the gate
and into the clearing, where we know in our very bodies there is good food, or the Bay Area, there is good justice, there is great love for absolutely everyone. Amen.
Hello. It was when Jesus was gathering toward what would become the end of his life that the people around him must have been experiencing their own sense of fog. They had imagined a savior in a certain way, and this did not look like what they were expecting. And so into that fog, my senses, they acknowledged with each other that they were longing like 22 for a purpose. Some of them probably weren't sure, like some of us might feel at moments, what that would be. And into that moment, Jesus could have done any number of awe-inducing things. And what Creator Sets Free did was invite them deeper into regular old living, offering a way to enter awe through the breaking of the bread. And so we pattern our lives here at the table and as those who long to follow in the ways of Jesus by trying to do just that, to allow our lives to be shaped and opened up as we practice together regular old living, breaking bread, opening to God's hope for the world. And so I invite you to stand in body or spirit. We will take a moment to prepare to come to the table by sharing together what the church calls a prayer of confession. So I invite you to rise in body or spirit. We do this recognizing that we close ourselves off from the feelings of awe that God invites us to move through. And so I invite us to pray with one voice. God of resurrection, power, and awe, we long to experience the gateway you hold open to awe. Yet we confuse your doors for walls and your gateways for fences. Fear is a wall. Distrust is a fence. People's judgment and expectations block us. The walls of right religion and being good enough prevent us from the opening you offer. Forgive us, we pray. And so, friends, God looks upon you just as you are in this very moment and upon all of creation and offers a gateway. May we step together in and through God's love toward deeper trust in God who is the gate. Amen.
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 And let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church through the generations. It's a way to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each and every one of our neighbors. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen.
Open to me.
Lord, make us do.
So let's pray together the words Jesus shared with those who were his earliest followers, and they have been passed to us and changed and morphed through the generations. The church calls it the Lord's Prayer. This is a version, a paraphrase from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray.
Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered and upon these gifts which are before us. Make these gifts your body and your love. And make us, through this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. And when we say all are welcome, we mean everyone. We share this meal, God's feast, both with our neighbors who are with us online from various places, as well as in this room. We will have two stations up here at the front and one in the back. On the plate is bread that, this one's still warm, that was baked for us. And there are crackers that don't have gluten in them for all of us that can't have gluten. And in the cup is grape juice, just so you know. We want everyone to know that each week, many of us here make this a life practice. Each week, many of us are here and trying to bravely come in through a doorway, a gateway, to say yes to God through Jesus' story for the very first time or for the first time in a really long time. And so we are gentle in this dance, right? We watch over one another in love, showing each other the steps. As we come forward and go back by the side aisle, you'll notice places to pray, either standing or kneeling, and candles to be lit for your moment of awe, staring at that flame and listening for God's voice. You can't mess this up, I promise.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life, a gateway offered for all, and the love of God poured out for you and for the world. Linda, the bread of life.
Thank you.
We encourage those praying with candles to stay for just as long as you desire. God, for the depth of your love, which is a gate for the whole world, we give you thanks. May this practice of breaking bread open us to your peace and call us to love one another. We offer this in your creative ways and many names. Amen. We want to invite you to wonder about what God's next steps might be for you. Last week, we invited folks to join us for an awe walk up at the Tupi's home, which is about 90 miles north from here. This week, there may be ways that you're inspired to notice how the arts or music might be a gateway for you to experience God's love in your own life. And we won't tell you what that might look like, but it could look in ways that you might imagine. We are grateful this morning. Hannah and Natalie are down in LA, and Omari is over in San Francisco. And we're really grateful to have Grace and Ben joining us this morning in worship. Brendan is showing them something right now that might induce awe for all of us. We'll see how it goes. I don't know what is happening there. Many of us feel led by God's love to respond by sharing of our own resources, and we do that here at the table by giving generously. There are ways to do that for those here in person around the sanctuary. There are also ways to do that online. We hope to have a final tabulation of our Easter offering in the next couple of weeks to share more about that, but there are ways that we would invite you to join with us in giving generously to help this community align our lives with God's love for the world. And we're going to go out this morning in song. This is our music team helping us move into God's world. This is a song from The Brilliance called See the Love. I invite you to stand, embody your spirit as we prepare to go out.
Every day we go to war again, we assume we know so much more than them. Before they hear what they have to say, headline breaks, we start to hate again, calling them names again. We give our peace away. I hope they see it, 'cause I wanna see it. I hope we believe it, 'cause I wanna see, I wanna see the love all around. I wanna see the love.
You could go to the De Young Museum and be lit up by Kehinde Wilde or Ansel Adams. Think about those lifespans that have been awed. I think you could go to a basketball game and be awed by humanity cheering with one voice. Or your backyard. Or the beach, or your lover's eyes, all of those places. Go in love, seeking love, sharing love in God's way. That is awe. Amen.
Thanks, guys. Happy Sunday. Be blessed.